just stay right where you're at. 2 Timothy 4. Hi, man. I've enjoyed this morning. Really have enjoyed it. Like I said, it's in honor of my brother. 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul's writing to Timothy. And I love the Pauline epistles. And thank God for them. You ought to be reading them. You ought to study them, because there's a lot of doctrine. When I was talking through the thing in Sunday school about doctrine, there's a lot of doctrine in the Pauline epistles. And we get our doctrine from the Pauline epistles. We're not hyper dispensationalists. We take the whole Bible but we believe that our doctrine for the church, it comes from the Pauline epistles. And Paul starts out and he says, I charge thee. Amen. He says that 10 times. I charge thee. I charge thee. It's not like a credit card. He's talking about charge, like a military charge. He's talking about going forward. And whenever you say charge, that means everybody's running forward and running towards the enemy. They always talk about the police. You know, they say the police and firemen, everybody's running from a fire. Everybody's running from the gunfire and all that stuff, but the police are running towards it. As Christians, we ought to be running towards the battle. Amen. We ought to be running towards it. I charge thee, therefore, before God. And Paul's saying, I'm charging y'all before God right now. I'm telling you. 10 times he says it. And that charge is a military charge. And he says, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. He says, preach the word. Preach the word. I'm about to preach all myself. Preach the word. And the word of God is going to do it. And whenever a preacher gets up and says, well, I'm not going to preach to you, you just yell out and say, then shut up and sit down. If he gets up and says, well, most of these churches today, the guys are not preaching to you, they're just talking to you. And they don't preach anymore. They just, just tell them, shut up and sit down then. They come out with their blue jeans on, a t-shirt, and sit in front of a, on a stool, and they're just going to talk to you for about, a couple minutes about Jesus, which you say, well, at least they're doing something. Yeah, praise God for that. But if a guy's not going to preach the word, then shut up and sit down. He said, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Now, that's going to test whether you're called to preach or not. It says, be instant in season, out of season. How many of you guys say you're called to preach in here? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. All right. If you're called to preach, it says, be instant in season, out of season. I mean, all the time. You're supposed to be, man, on charging all the time. And you're supposed to be going forward. And like I said before, God never parts waters for anybody going backwards. He always parts waters for people going forward. And you're supposed to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. I mean, whether you feel like it or not. I know this, when I don't feel like witnessing, when I don't feel like preaching, when I don't feel like doing what God wants me to do, and I do it anyway, it seems like God gives me extra charge. I mean, he gives me an extra fire to go on. And when there's a lot of times I preach funerals, I've been going into funerals of babies, and I've gone there hours ahead of time because I didn't want to preach no baby's funeral no more. I said, Lord, I don't want to do no more babies. And I'm just crawling around on the floor, and the undertaker come down and say, you all right? And I'd be down there weeping and crying. I said, I don't want to do it, Lord. I don't want to do it. And I do it anyway because he said, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. I reprove, rebuke, and so on. Look what the Bible says. Be instant in season, reprove, rebuke, exhort. Now, see, we always get that reprove, rebuke, but then it says exhort with all long-suffering. You're supposed to exhort one another with long-suffering, man. You're supposed to encourage one another to preach the word. That's what a unit does. That's what a battalion does in the military. You're not my enemy. You're not my enemy. I hope you're not. You're not my foes. You're my brothers in arms. You're my sisters in arms. And we're supposed to be in this together. 50 sometimes in the Bible talks about this doctrine. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Talks about doctrine. Doctrine. That's why you need to know what you believe, why you believe it. When you sit around and watch TV, you know all the TV shows. You know all the movie stars. You know, I had a girl that come to church here. She said, God's called me to the movie stars to witness them. What it was. She was looking for a husband and wanted to get rich quick. That's what it was. Said, did it happen? No. She ended up marrying somebody, and he abused her and used her, and she ended up in jail for abuse of her children, and she came back here, and we still hugged her and told her we loved her, but she won't get back in church. She won't do right. Yeah. And that's what happened. She said, God called me to go to movie stars and all that junk. Come on, man. I'm going to tell you something. There's going to be some lies here 10 years from now if the Lord tarries. We're going to be talking about you. Because you ruined your life, you messed up your life because you didn't do what God wanted you to do. And I'm going to reprove you this morning. I'm going to rebuke you this morning. You better get your act together. Amen. You better get why Jesus Christ is coming back. You better get it together. You better get it together. And Bible says, for time shall come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And they don't care anymore. We get to this, when you get to the place of past feeling, like the Bible says, when you get to that place where you say, preach to me, I don't care, it ain't going to affect me, and it ain't going to bother me, I'm going to do what I want to do. Man, you're past feeling. You're in dangerous ground. This might be your last reproof. This might be your last rebuke. And it might be the last time that God's going to deal with you about this thing. And then all of a sudden, down the road, like when he dealt with Nebuchadnezzar, when Daniel talked about Nebuchadnezzar, he says, God's going to deal with you, boy. And he went around for a year. It went on for a year. And then he walked around and said, isn't this not the palace? This is not the place that I built? And all of a sudden, God said, a voice came out and said, oh, boy, you're going to run with the beast of the field. And judgment fell. And I'm going to tell you something. Reprove, rebuke with all longsuffering. For the time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. You know what people do? We've had people leave our church. You know why? You know why they leave? It ain't because of sound doctrine. It ain't because of preaching. It's because they just don't want to do right and they don't want to hear it no more. They just don't want to do right. They just want to go live. And what happens is they think the preacher knows so much. And whenever I preach and I'm preaching on something, they think I'm preaching to them. And that's what happens. And they get past feeling. They say, I don't want to hear it no more. And they go out and they get backslidden. And then we talk about them. And we say, we don't run them down, but we say, man, what a tragedy. They could have got the thing right. They were sitting that close to the church. They were in church. They were sitting that close to the altar. They were close to where they could get right with God. And they wouldn't. They wouldn't do it.
Amen.
They just wouldn't. Why? They got other plans. Bible says, but watch. It says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. And shall be turned on the fables. And they'll believe anything. They'll believe anything bad about anybody. And they'll believe anything bad about somebody trying to do right. Yep. It says they'll turn away from the truth. Don't get like that. Amen. Don't get in that position. When you feel, we all prone to wander, prone to leave the God our love. It's in us. But when you get to a place where you're past feeling where God can't deal with you anymore and you don't feel nothing in the service. And you don't have, you say, man, I've heard that. It don't affect me no more. I tell you what, that song April was singing still touches me.
Amen.
Them songs they were singing still gets a hold of me.
Amen.
It still moves me.
Amen.
I've been saved for 40-some years.
Amen.
Been preaching for 31 years here at the pastor church. I've been preaching longer than that. But it still moves me.
Amen.
It still gets a hold of me. It doesn't get a hold of you. You say, well, I've heard that before. I've done that before. Man, God have mercy on you. God have mercy on you. Look at chapter 2. Paul's exhorting Timothy to preach. And he's exhorting him to be a good soldier. Now, folks, I'll tell you this. Until God got a hold of my heart, I wasn't going to be no good soldier. I was my own. I was a rebel. And I didn't want nobody to tell me what to do. Some Christian sitting in here right now, you're a rebel. And you glory in it.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to tell you what to do. You glory in that rebel. I was a rebel. Until I got my heart right with God, I tell you what, I surrendered all. I surrendered. I said, God, I want to be used by you. And Lord used the military to get a hold of me. That was the place. Prison was one place. And then the military was the second place. I never forget being in a cell. And then all of a sudden, then I was in the military. And I was down in Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri. And I was in a bunk in B Company. And Linda called me up one night. You know, we was dating. And boyfriend, girlfriend. And my drill sergeant got me out of bed in the middle of the night and came down and says, somebody's on your phone and said, your mother's in bad shape. I went down and got the phone and I picked up the phone and Linda was on the phone. She goes, I love you. I miss you. I miss you. I wish you was here. Blah, blah, blah. She started going like, and the drill sergeant standing right over me saying, what happened to your mother? And I'm going, mom's that bad? Where is she in the hospital? My wife called me up just to tell me. She wasn't my wife then. She was my girlfriend. Man, almost got me in the brig, man, over that thing. Because she kept telling me, she don't tell me that no more. She don't do that no more. Y'all pray for her that she would. She don't call me up and tell me sweet nothings anymore like she did that. But I'm joking. We do. I thank God for her. Some of y'all can't do that. I can joke with my wife. Can you joke with your wife? Some of y'all get slapped if you start joking with your wife. I can still joke. I just get slapped, but I still joke. It says, thou therefore, my son, Paul's, I'm going to tell you something. If you ever want to see a military commander, a military mind, a military soldier, it was Paul the Apostle. Even though he was never in the Roman military, he's a soldier. And I'm going to tell you, a soldier that I look to. I thank God for, you know, I like Norman Schwarzkopf during the Iraq War. I liked watching his briefings. How many of y'all remember what I'm talking about? When he was giving the briefing, it was funny. He said, you want to see the luckiest guy in Iraq? And he pointed, he had a video. He said, here's the luckiest guy in Iraq. And the guy's crossing the bridge, and right behind him, the bridge gets blown out. He's the luckiest guy in Iraq. And man, everybody busts out laughing. I like guys like, you know, I like reading about Patton. I like to read about different soldiers in the past. Some men that stood and went with all odds against them. George Washington was one of them. With all odds against him, he still went forward. And he had responsibility of men's lives. And you don't realize that if you're saved in here, you should be a good soldier because you got responsibility of people's lives looking at you. My children, my grandchildren, our church family, other people that's known me through the years, known you for the years, they're watching, they're looking at you. He said, thou, my son, thou, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You can be strong in God's grace. And God always provides grace for you to be strong. He'll always do it. When our house burnt out, when our son got run over by the car, I was just telling, whenever I start giving testimony about Josh getting run over by a car, it still tears me up. I cry. And a lot of people will say to me, did he die? No, I said, no, Lord, have mercy on him. Amen. And he got run over right over here in front of the house over here, right on Brother Jack's wedding day. Jack in here, where you at, Jack? Jack's right there. It was on his wedding day. And it about ruined his wedding day. After the reception, they were at the reception, and I remember picking Josh up off the road, and blood running out of his eyes and ears and mouth. It looked like his jaw was broken. His head swelled up twice the size. His head still kind of swelled up, but and the ribs sticking out, had a little tuxedo and ripped him off of him. And I remember walking down, I picked him up, I pushed the car off of him and picked him up, and I remember I held him up like this. And I held him for his face towards God. And I still remember looking up and blood hitting me in the face. And saying, Lord, I know I deserve this. But have mercy on me. With all the wickedness I've done, have mercy on me. I go back to the firehouse where Cheryl's daddy was the chief of police. He got saved now. He's in heaven. His wife got saved. She's in heaven.
Yeah.
I remember going back in there, and we got to this corner right here at the stop sign, and John Garner was driving the van, and he said, which way? I didn't even know where the hospital was. And I said, I don't know. And Linda, I tried to keep my wife out of the car because I thought he was dead, because there was no heartbeat, no nothing. Blood running everywhere. We got going past his houses up here. Every time I pass these houses, I think about it. About the third house we passed, and then Josh went, and he started screaming. And I said, oh, God, and I started ripping off his clothes, looking to see how bad it was. And I remember walking into that firehouse right there in Smyrna Firehouse. Where's Chris? Is he here? I walked in there with that baby like this, and he's screaming. And Cheryl's dad came out and said, what happened? I said, he got ran over. The girl that ran over him stayed in the car screaming. Because I pushed the car off of him, and now I picked him up, she saw him. The thought never passed through my mind about quitting.
That's right.
It never passed through my mind about giving up. All I could think was, God, I know I deserve this, but have mercy on me. And I remember going, he got a police car, came out. And when the policeman was in the car crying, I tried to keep my wife out of the car again. She got in. We were praying out loud. We were praying out loud going up the road. Buddy Cargill came up here the week after that happened and sat right there where Jay's sitting. And Buddy Cargill told me, he said, Alan, that boy was dead, but God raised him back up for you.
Amen.
Yeah.
He was. And it's a blessing for me to have my son leading singing.
Yeah.
So we got in the police car and we got going down the road and we're praying out loud to the cop that was driving. I wish I remember who he was. I don't. He was crying. He's going 100 miles an hour. But to make a long story short, it never crossed my mind about quitting.
Amen.
He got spinal meningitis. I just didn't think the Lord wanted me up here. Some of y'all quit God for less than that. You want to be a good soldier. Paul tells Timothy, my son, be strong in the grace as in Christ Jesus. God gave us grace. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness, not hardened against God. I always pray for my children. I pray for you. I pray for this church. I pray for all my grandkids. God, give them a tender heart. Put the fear of God in them. The fear of God will keep you straight. The Bible says there's no fear of God before their eyes. That's why they'll go wrong. It says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier, Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him. It all depends on who you're trying to please.
Right.
Who are you trying to please? I know what he did for me. I know what it costs for me to be saved. I don't understand it all. I'm not saying that. I don't know exactly all it cost. But I know my brother died to tell me about Jesus. I know Jesus Christ died for me. And I know the price he paid. And I'm going to tell you something. That should be good enough. That should be good enough.
Yeah.
A good soldier. Paul was a soldier. It said, he tells us don't entangle yourself with the affairs of this life. Because when you get entangled in this life, when you get entangled with things, they get your heart and you don't produce any fruit.
Yeah.
And all you have is rotten fruit. It's just dead on the vine. I was out there, me and Alex out there picking up those pears. And I thought, the thought crossed my mind, this is a lot of the fruit of a lot of Christians. I don't want my fruit to be like that.
Amen.
I don't want my fruit to be on the ground rotting away. That's why I pray for my fruit. I pray for the fruit of this church. I pray for you. I call people, try to get them back in church. We got some people run the church down. They'll run it down because they've seen somebody do something, and they say, and then to make their own excuses so they can go live like hell, they'll run everybody down, and they'll quit coming to church, and they'll go try to get, you know, and steady run. I said, God, have mercy on them. Have mercy on them. That boy that came in here and stole Mrs. Younger's purse, I prayed for him. I dealt with him, and just a couple weeks ago, it broke my heart to hear that he died of overdose. Broke my heart. Another boy came down here, got saved, named John. I just did his funeral. He shot himself. I'm going to tell you something. You get away from God. That boy Phil told me he was saved. You get away from God, live the way you want to live, you won't find no peace. You won't have no happiness. I was going to preach on happiness this morning. Why is it most Christians are not happy? Why is it? I'm happy. I'm happy the Lord saved me. I got joy inside. Happy is the man whose sins are forgiven. Man, I'm happy that I'm saved. Boy, are you happy this morning? I'm happy with my wife. I'm happy with my children. I'm happy with my grandkids. I'm happy with what God's given us. You say, well, you don't have a mansion. No, I got a double wide trailer. Add it to. And not even finished yet. You said, are you happy with it? I'm happy with it. My wife ain't, but I'm happy with it. The Bible says, be content with such things you have. I'm content with things. I want to get better. I want to get better as a Christian. I want to do better as a Christian. I want to be better pastor. I want to be a better everything. That ought to be our desire, to be better Christians. Not how far we can get away from God.
Amen.
Not how far we can go against God before his judgment falls. I don't want no judgment fall on nobody. Nobody. I've seen it fall too many times. It says, no man that warreth entangling himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him that have chosen him to be a soldier. A good soldier, Jesus Christ, he prepares himself to be a soldier. He prepares himself. I want to be a soldier for Jesus Christ. I prepare myself in my mind because the mind is the biggest battlefield you have.
Yeah.
You got to prepare yourself here. Because if you don't, it'll affect here. Amen. And before long, you'll lose, you'll get cold towards God. Amen. You'll get cold towards the preaching. You'll get cold towards the songs of Zion. Amen. That ought to stir us up. When my wife and I was in Israel, we were just so somber about everything. We're looking at everything, and I'm thinking, my God, my Savior was here. My Savior laid here. He rose from the grave here. Amen. He's victorious. Amen. Everywhere we went, we were like, man, we just wanted to cry at times. We hugged each other thinking, I was looking at the Valley of Megiddo thinking about all the 200 million men in that valley. Man, it tore me up thinking about that. It made me want to see more people saved. I want to try to do more. Try to do more for his glory. He says to endure hardness as a good soldier. No man entangled himself with the affairs of this life. He said, bro, preacher, you got to live. I know that. I'm not stupid. I know you got to live. I know life goes on even when our loved ones pass on. Life goes on. And you got to live. You got to eat every day. But God knows how to take care of you. God knows how to feed you. You think God's forgotten? You think he's an old man sitting up there and somebody got to wake him up and say, hey, there's somebody talking to you. He knows exactly where you're at. He knows exactly what you're going through. And he knows exactly what you need. And he knows what's best for you. Amen. The best thing you can do is say, Lord, help me to yield to you. I want to be a good soldier. My drill sergeant, I got in a fight with the drill sergeant when I got down in the Army and had a master drill sergeant came up. And he was a Vietnam veteran. He was 173rd Airborne Recon. He found out my brother was 173rd Airborne Recon. And he took me aside and he looked, he was about that big, but just solid as a rock. And he said to me, he said, you know what? You're shaming your family. At that time, I didn't care. At that point in my life, I said, I don't care. That's where you're at. This is our family. I don't want to shame you. How would you feel if you found out I was doing something behind the back, behind the curtains, and you found out about it and the whole community knew? Yeah, would it shame you? Amen. You would distance yourself from me. Yes, and that's the same thing you'll do. Are you shaming the family? Are you shaming our Father? Are you shaming our Savior? He's a good captain. The Bible says in Exodus, God is a man of war. And when we read Revelation, the Lord's coming back. He's coming back on a white horse. I want to be a good soldier. Bible talks about fight the good fight. Paul tells Timothy over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says, I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Verse 7. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me. Folks, this is not a fairy tale. This is not, the devil will tell you, oh, it really ain't going to happen. Oh, this is not real. I tell you what, you ask God. Talk to your Father. I tell you what, he'll give you assurance. We've had people come to this church. They said, man, I don't understand. Nothing's ever hit me. I said, well, ask him. Yeah. I dare you. I double dog dare you. Ask God. Say, Lord, give me something. And start seeking him. Give me something, Lord. I want to feel your presence. See what happens. Guarantee you. If you're sincere, God will show you. I fought a good fight. Most people want to fight each other. If I get around somebody and they start wanting to argue with me and want to fight, I won't pull my sword out unless it's something to help them. I will not pull my sword out unless it's going to help them. I'm not going to go try to hack people's heads off, spiritually speaking. I'm not trying to hurt nobody. I'm trying to help my brothers, especially when they're my brothers and sisters in Christ. Paul tells a good soldier, he prepares himself in his mind for what's coming. He prepares for the worst. You prepare yourself for the worst. You never know what the battle may lead you to, but God might be right there and you'll be able to share in the victory of the battle. Isn't it something? when you read about these battles that took place and the men that shared in the victory, you know, you say, well, that don't mean much. Think about when George Washington fought against the British. Those men that gave their lives and those men that were still alive after the battle was over, they said it was well worth it. We're benefiting from their battle. You and I benefited from the battle. Paul says, fight the good fight. Don't entangle yourself with this world. Don't let the world get your heart and mind. He loses all outside entanglement. You know what happens? Once you get saved, the devil tries to bring old friends around and tries to get you entangled again. When you got saved, God broke the chains. He broke the chains off and said, now follow me, son. I'll make you fishers of men.
Yeah.
Follow me. And you can stand there and go, well, or you can go for a little while, but then go back. And what I've seen a lot of Christians do, they go back, pick up the old chains,
right,
and put them back on. I don't want to do that.
Amen. Amen.
I want to fight the good fight.
Yeah.
A good soldier, he's not a conscientious objector. I wonder how many conscientious objectors we got in here. Go to Canada. Like, you're in the same category with Clinton, Bill Clinton. He's a conscientious objector.
Yeah.
He wouldn't stay and fight for this country. But I tell you, there's a lot of Christians who won't fight the good fight of faith, which is far more valuable, far more better than any war when you stand for God. Who was it? Brother Nathan. Brother Nathan that sang here during the revival. Nathan, he was working at the prison down there. Nathan's got over 3,000, I think 2,500, 3,000 inmates there. They made Nathan the chaplain now. And Nathan was just looking for the Lord to use him, that's all. God's blessed him. He's getting ready to buy a house. God's blessed him. And Nathan, he told me, I witnessed to so many men. They're being deported. The prison he's at is a prison for men to be deported. Nathan basically would be a missionary to the people around the world.
Yeah.
And he's leading them to the Lord, and they're going back, being deported back to their own country. You look for something God will use you. Don't be a conscientious objector. Don't say, well, I'm not going to get involved.
Amen.
I'm not going to do something for God.
Right.
Or then you have this. You have people say, well, I used to be.
Yeah.
So you're saying you're a has-been. I don't want to be a has-been. I don't want to be a conscientious objector. I don't want to be a has-been and talk about what I used to do. I don't want to talk about Faith Baptist Church the way it was.
Amen.
I want to talk about the way it is.
Amen.
30 years being here, 31 years, I want to still see people say, I want preachers come by and say, man, I just came by, I got a drink of water. Man, what a well. I have preachers text me and say, man, I just want to come by the watering hole. Missionaries coming by. I just want to come by the watering hole. We need this water. You know what happens is you hang around the water hole so much, you get used to it.
Yeah.
Until you get thirsty. You have to get a thirst to appreciate it. I don't want to be a conscientious objector. I don't want to be a deserter. I definitely don't want to be a traitor.
Amen.
We was preaching on the street one time. A lady came up and started telling us that we were doing it all wrong and all that kind of stuff. And Brother John, he just got mad. Brother John Garner, he said, are you saved? She said, yes. She said, you're doing it all wrong. She was about, and John started calling her a traitor. What I'd encourage you to do is get the uniform out. Clean it up. Get your sword out. Shine it up. Get your shield out. Clean it. Buff it up. Get your helmet out. Why? You're going to be a target. You be better prepared. Don't be a traitor. There's a traitor in this country. There's been traitors in this country. One of them was, what was his name during the Revolutionary War? Benedict Arnold. I don't want to be known as a Benedict Arnold. I want to be a servant, a soldier. And guess what? I want to be in the ranks with my brothers and sisters in Christ. I want to stand with them. We were out there at Brother Ken's house the other day, and we was all shooting and stuff. And I was talking about, we had an old Russian rifle, and we're standing out there, and I thought, man, during the Revolutionary War, that was crazy. But they would say, if you got guts, you didn't hide behind nothing. They would just walk up, look at each other from that wall there, and stand there and shoot each other. I thought, that's crazy. During the Revolutionary War, they duck. But that's the way they did it. And if you ran, their old man would turn around and go, boom, shoot you for running. During the Civil War, they got a little bit more sense. They start getting down behind rocks and stuff. But man, during the First World War, you read about that, all the men that died. I've got a book back here about all the different wars that took place from all the way back. I'm thinking, my Lord, man. All the men that died, thousands and millions. If you're going to die for something, you ought to die for something worthwhile.
Amen.
As a Christian, you ought to die for something worthwhile. Serving Jesus Christ, a good soldier. Jesus will never, never put a medal on a deserter. They came out of that old movie. I'll finish up. They came out of that old movie with John, what's his name? Connors. Chuck Connors. And they called it deserter. They broke his sword. And they sent him out of the fort back in the day. It's a wonder they didn't shoot him in the movie, but there was a movie. But a deserter was shamed. Somebody that was a conscientious objector was shamed. Somebody that was a traitor was shot. I want to be a good soldier. I don't want to be a mercenary. A mercenary go running out for the bucks, wherever they can get a dollar. They'll fight for whoever, forever a dollar. I'm in a good fight. Paul said, I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Are you in the battle? So I got a battle raging. I got a battle raging. But I haven't talked to God. Haven't been with the Lord for a while. That's sad.
Amen.
That's sad. When Jesus Christ loved you, took care of you. No man that warreth entangling himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who had chosen him to be a soldier. Everybody in this room, whether you like it or not, you've been chosen to be a soldier. Whether you fulfill your purpose in life is up to you. You're going to run from it. You're going to object to it. You're going to be a traitor. It's up to you. Or you can say, Lord, help me be a good soldier. Help me to stand when it's time to stand. Help me not to run. Endure hardness as a good soldier. I'll stop there. Father, my Father, I love you. I pray, God, you'd help us, Lord God, all of us. Help Faith Baptist Church as this unit, Faith Baptist Church unit of Smyrna, Delaware. And Father, help us to be standing at attention and be counted